Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. You ready to define another term today?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
We talked about grace last week and thought we would talk about faith this week, which I thought was going to be easy for some reason. And as I think about it, it's not quite as easy as I thought.
It's a little bit one of those words that kind of moves around. You think you've got it, mm-hmm. and you try and nail it down, and it like squishes over and moves a little bit, and it is hard.
Yeah. And you hear it all the time just in the world and it seems to be when people just want something to happen, one of the advice you'll get is you just got to have faith. They're saying in you just got to have faith that it will happen. And I don't know what that even really means.
Yeah, that's some of what they mean. Sometimes it's you have to have faith in yourself.
Right.
And anyway, we're choosing faith today to talk about because it comes right on the heels of grace.
Right.
And even the kind of the key thing we talked about last week was Ephesians 2:8-9, which by grace you are saved through faith. So the grace comes to you through faith. And so it's one thing to talk about grace, but if you don't have the through faith part, then grace is out there and you're not connected to it. So the grace comes to you through faith. And so that's why we want to talk about faith, because we want to get both pieces of that so that you can recognize, yes, in fact, I need, goodness from God that I don't deserve, and I know how to get it. I get it by trusting or by faith or by believing in Christ. So for by grace you've been saved through faith. And so, how are you going to know what faith means then, Mark?
Right. Well, I mean, the first things that come to my mind are two words that you've already used, and that's belief and trust. Those are two words that I think about with faith, but
In some respect, they don't help you because they have the same problem.
Right.
And there's this like that word group of three words, faith, belief, and trust, kind of all do the same thing when you try and nail them down because they're all kind of the same.
Exactly. So it's tough. Maybe you can help me with that. What's a better?
I'm
just passing the ball.
I'll put it off on you, and you put it off on me, and it's only fair.
Well, you brought up the word allegiance earlier when we were talking. So,
well, one of the things you can think about, I think, when you think of let me start with what it doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Okay. So faith is not assent or agreement that these things happen. Or like you got a water bottle there, it's blue.
Right.
Do you believe it's blue? Yes, I believe it's blue. Why do I, because I see it and I agree or I assent to the facts that it's blue. That's not what it's talking about.
Right.
That's not faith. I mean, it's just blue. Mm-hmm. Blue, it's just blue. That's all.
Yeah.
The other thing that it isn't knowledge. And I think a lot of people think, I need more. And so what are you going to do to get more? I'm going to study. I'm going to read. I'm going to whatever to get more knowledge. Like I need to know what's happening.
Right.
And knowing isn't belief either.
And you think that's what they're thinking, they need more knowledge in order to get faith? Is that?
Well, or that knowing equates to believing.
Okay.
Like seeing is believing a little bit.
Right.
Like that. Like seeing is believing. So if I really can know for sure, then it'll be faith. Well, that's not exactly the same.
That's where the hard part is, right? Because it makes me think of Nicodemus in John 3 when he comes to Jesus saying, I know that you are from God because no one can do the things that you're doing unless he comes from God. So I know that. And Jesus' response is, you need to be born again. Like it's, Nicodemus does not have faith at that point. Knowing that Jesus is from God did not equate to saving faith.
And it's to Nicodemus that Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes.
Yeah.
So Nicodemus has already told him he knows.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, no, it's still belief that you need.
Yeah.
So it's just the same word as faith, basically. So.
Yeah.
So it's not knowledge. That's good. That's a great counterexample there that it's not like Nicodemus, right?
Yeah.
And it's not a central agreement. And I think that a lot of people think that it is. So when people talk about faith in Jesus, what does that mean? That means that Jesus, you know, lived, died, rose again. And yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's not belief. That's agreeing. That's same. I mean, unless it's different, then I believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that. Is that different belief than belief that Jesus lived, died, and rose again?
Right.
If it's not different, then you're not talking. Then you're don't. It's not really faith.
Right.
Because that's not. It's not just assent or agreement with a fact of history.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Knowing those facts is not the finish line of faith. That's not, because if I said, if someone told me they believed those facts and I said, so what? Like,
you
why does
get
it matter
to the so what
that those
thing.
Are true?
Right.
I think their answer to that would maybe
get you closer.
Would tell you if there was faith there or, you know, but if it was, I mean, that was a lot of my life, was I knew those facts were true.
Mm-hmm.
I believed that those facts were true. But if somebody said to me, so what does that mean? What how does that,
why is that
affect
important?
You? Why is that important?
Mm-hmm.
I would have had nothing. I had nothing to say after that. I just...
Really?
Yeah.
There are probably a lot of people who wish they had to ask you that question, like get you to shut up, right?
Oh, yeah, probably.
How can I get Mark to shut up? Well, let's ask him.
Yeah.
Faith, yeah.
But it was, it really was kind of, as you say those things, that I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he rose again. That's really where it ended. That's all the more I thought about Jesus.
Okay.
And so I didn't have faith in him.
Yeah. Now, again, you got to be a little careful using those words.
Yeah.
Because the letter written by James says that even the demons believe and tremble. So it uses the very word believe for that same kind of knowledge or assent that I'm, you know, because they do. They know for a fact that Jesus died and rose again and is coming again in judgment and their days are numbered. They know that.
Right.
And they believe it to be true.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it about their knowledge and their belief that has to be different different for you than it was for them. See, and I think that's some of what we're trying to get at here when we're talking about faith is if the demons believe and tremble, what is different for me? And, you know, one of the words that helps me with that is the word allegiance.
Yeah.
So the... what's different, so you would never say the devils or the demons have allegiance to Jesus.
Right.
You'd never say that.
Right.
And so that all of a sudden, ding, 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 we're onto something that does distinguish like real faith from demonic faith.
Right.
Okay. So, and even that's the difference for you or for me if you know or agree or, you know, I'm certain these things happened, whatever it is you want to say, like that is faith. Well, there is this other, you might say, component to faith that is, I don't know how you want to say, willful or volitional, or it has to do with my, the orientation of my life, basically. Allegiance is really such a great word.
Yeah.
For that. So if I know those things to be true and I, you know, shake my fist and double down, like the demons do, that's right. not faith. But if right. I know those things to be true and say, those things matter, not just in, you know, out there, but they matter for me, and I commit myself to them.
Right.
That then all of a sudden you're beginning to cross into the realm of what we talk about with biblical faith. So by grace you have been saved through faith. What is that? That is my understanding, number one, that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for my sins, which again, the reason Jesus died is important yeah. for me in my allegiance. It isn't just that he died, it's that I know why he died. And I'm committed to not just to the fact that he was on a Roman cross, but he was on a Roman cross because God put him there as a satisfaction for my sin, which is what the yeah. Bible tells me. Once I understand that and say that is for me, and yeah. I have essentially pledged my allegiance to that or am committed to that, then means I'm not committed to a bunch of other things. I'm not committed then to all of a sudden thinking that I'm going to somehow atone for my sins. I'm going to somehow right. get God to like me. But rather, because of my allegiance to Jesus, I know that God loves Jesus and God is pleased with Jesus. Yeah. And when I'm united with Jesus by my faith, I know God loves me and is committed to me too there. So that's kind of one of the words I really like to think mm-hmm. about with regard to faith. And partly because it distinguishes us from all those other things that are sort of like it, but not quite.
Yeah. And one of the things that I thought of as you were talking about that and saying that that you believed that he paid for your sins, that that's part of faith in Jesus, that wasn't in the equation earlier in the facts that I believed.
Okay.
I didn't really have an understanding that Jesus atoned for my sins on the cross mm-hmm. because I believed that I had to live a good enough life to atone for my own sins. So I believed that all those facts were true, but I had no idea why.
But you also believed some counterfacts.
Yeah.
Which were against that, in right. that you had to atone for your own sin. Right. So some of the other word, the reason I like the word allegiance is that it is a personal word. I have allegiance to my wife. I have allegiance to my family. I have allegiance to my church. I have allegiance to my country. Those are the things that matter to me.
Right.
But my allegiance to a person is, I think that one of the things that you've got to get to is mm-hmm. that because the Christian truth is that Jesus died and rose again and is living now.
Yeah.
And so it is not an idea or a fact that I'm placing my faith in, but a person.
Right.
And when that's the case, my allegiance to him then is a living thing. It's not just like an intellectual thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
And that distinguishes it too from one of the things you said was I believed I had to,
yeah.
you know, do good or work my own salvation. Well,
yeah.
that isn't allegiance to anything really but your own self.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's kind of one of those red flags that you ought to wave is, am I trust? So we use trust and faith and belief all in the yeah. same like, yeah. way. So am I trusting in myself to right. pull something off? Or am I trusting, am I trusting in Jesus?
Right.
And if that's the way that I go, that's right. different than trusting myself.
Yeah. And I agree with you that it would be trusting myself, but I didn't look at it that way. I was trusting the church that I went to. I was trusting okay. this other way of salvation. There was a connection to Jesus. We never talked about him, but so I could get there that I had faith in Jesus, but right. it was like a couple of steps away. It yeah. was, I yeah. had faith in my church mm-hmm. because they are the followers of Christ.
Is what makes it tricky.
Yeah.
That's what makes this relationship with the church tricky mm-hmm. because the church essentially was encouraging Now, nobody would say it this way. Okay, I know that these are my words, not somebody else's. So if that's not fair, it's not fair. But I think that they would encourage you to do better. Mm-hmm. And in encouraging you to do better, encouraging you to count on yourself, mm-hmm. or your effort or the amount of, you know, supposed faith that you can muster.
Yeah.
And that is essentially a sort of a mirror that reflects back on you to get with the program.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not, again, I don't know that they wouldn't say it that way, and that may not be fair, but.
Yeah. No, I when you were talking about it earlier, I was thinking that it's, with faith, we're talking about quality, not quantity. And we.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by is it depends on what your faith is in, or if it's true faith in, like, a saving faith in Jesus, or the quantity of faith that you can come up with in some other thing. Like, it didn't matter. I realized later how much faith I had in the followers of Christ Church or in anything else. I realized that over time that just, there was no peace, there was no assurance, there was no rest. It was exhausting. I keep using that word on here, but it mm-hmm. it is exhausting when you, and it's because of what you just said, my faith was in myself when you boil it right down.
The question of how much do I have?
Yeah.
As soon as you ask the question, how much do I have?
Yeah.
In other words, how much, I'm going to insert here, how much self-generated faith do I have?
Yeah.
Then I'm asking the question, how much is it on me? I mean, am I doing enough to have enough faith? And then that's when you know you're on the treadmill.
Yeah.
When you're on the treadmill, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't ever really stop.
Yeah.
And again, that has to do, again, not with the amount, like you said, but with the object.
Right.
And so it's if you think of yourself as the subject of faith, it's not the subject of faith, it's the object of faith. It's what is out there that you're counting on.
Right.
And, you know, you have lots of things like that. I mean, you have a rickety old chair. It doesn't matter, like, how, you know, fired up you are about the chair, about how enthusiastic you are about the chair, about how certain you are.
Right.
You can't generate enough certainty for this broken down old chair to hold you up, because it'll just crumble.
Right.
And it's a matter of how good is the chair.
Exactly.
That's what's going to determine whether you're held up or not. And the same is true, really, for the object of your faith.
Right.
You know, am I going to get to trusting in something that I know is going to be good when I count on it?
Yeah.
You know, I suppose that's another way of talking about faith, is counting on something.
Yeah.
I'm really, actually, honest to goodness, relying on this to be true.
Yeah.
I'm if I have to muster the faith, I'm not relying on the thing, because then I got to get more of it. If I got to get more of it, then it doesn't really matter about it. It's about how much I get.
Right.
And so all of that goes back to me again, you know. So anyway, I'm talking too much.
I'm going to just use another little sports analogy here that I do sometimes, but this reminds me, this might be a terrible example, but I played a lot of basketball when I was younger, or whatever sport you play, really, when you're setting up the teams, that's really, I figured out pretty early, that's where you win or lose the game. It's not necessarily on my performance. It's get on the best team with the best players. And so I just had, there's just this feeling like, oh, we're going to be okay with this. I'm playing with this person. We're going to be fine. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So, well, I mean, you've had that, I'm sure, where you think that we're on the right team, we should win this game. I mean, you've played enough sports, you know.
Well, I'm just going to say that, my thing was always, you know what, I'm going to be able to pull this out.
Okay.
And my faith was always in myself on that, you know, and so yes, I'm hearing you and I know what you're talking about, but I was like too stubborn and self-absorbed to think, it's not about them. It's about how good I do.
You know? Okay.
I can.
Okay.
And that totally was false, number one. Number two, it didn't work.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I didn't have any of that, but I had some laziness too, so I'd rather just be on a team where I could rest and let some other guys do it too. So,
oh, there you go.
What I
didn't mean to argue with your in there.
But I just keep thinking about the difference between, you know, I trusted my teammates mm-hmm. to be able to do what needed to be done.
Even what you couldn't do.
Yeah.
Right.
And when I ended up on a team where the beginning, yeah, this is going to be tough. Yeah, I'll give it my best try, but I just don't know. This is probably a terrible example, but this is kind of how I see some of the difference in how I used to think about faith, and the object of my faith used to be the church that I went to.
And the team that you were part of.
The team that I was part of. Hmm. And I was told this is the best team. And then it was just like, man, we're losing every game. It felt like everything started to go against us. And like, we're not getting the results of what I would expect from the best team here. And when everything changed for me and I put my trust in Jesus, it was like that feeling of having someone that I can just relax. This is going to be fine. And it's not to say everything goes perfect in your life, mm-hmm. but you know that no matter how bad it goes, it's going to be fine. Where I did not have that feeling before. It was just like, every time something would go wrong, there would be more people questioning, why is it going this way? And the answer was always, we just got to have more faith. We just got to trust. Trust what? That was like, yeah. what are we trusting? So I don't know if that makes sense at all, but there's a definite difference that I want people to know about in putting your faith in really anything other than Jesus, a church, a friend group, a family, whatever, and putting your faith in Jesus. And so I guess that's a long way of saying I agree with you that it's all about the object of our faith more than the amount of faith you have. That Indiana Jones line that he says in the trailer for the last movie that he did, he says something like, I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of things. I've come to realize that it's not so much what you believe, but how hard you believe it. And I just thought, I would have completely agreed with that for most of my life. And now I can't. It just made the hair on the back of my neck stand up when he said it. I couldn't disagree with it more now. It's mm-hmm. it's most important what you believe in rather than how much you believe in something.
Well, so if you look at it on the other side, right, the trustworthiness of the object in which you trust is important.
Yeah.
I mean, if you trust in like a pyramid scheme with your money, they may promise to make it fast, but it will ultimately crumble mm-hmm. because it isn't trustworthy. And what is the trustworthiness of the object of your faith? That's the opposite of Indiana Jones, like you said.
Right.
But see, one of the things, and this will go back to maybe kind of how we started, because you've talked a little bit about the results of your faith.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, we started with Ephesians 2, which says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, mm-hmm. so that there is grace that comes to you when you have faith. And one of the things that is really important, I think, to understand, and I think sometimes we misunderstand it, is that when you trust in Christ, like really do, he's the object, I believe that he is trustworthy, and what God has promised he would do through Christ for me, he will do. And I'm mm-hmm. counting on that. Once I get there, one of the things that happens is grace comes. Mm-hmm. For by grace you have been saved through faith. The grace comes to you. And one of the things that the grace does in your life is it changes you. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible describes it in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
But the grace that comes to you takes out a heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh.
Right.
It writes God's law on your heart. It does transfers you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your son. Lots and lots of things happen to you. Yeah. They happen to you.
Yeah.
Because of what someone else has done, you see.
Right.
That's all different than you generating all this stuff. Because it's all things you don't deserve. That's what we talked about last time.
Yep.
That come to you through faith. And when those things come, they make you into a different person. When they come to you, then they change your life. And when they change your life, you have a different result because of your faith. Now, you may attribute it to your faith, but it isn't really your faith. See, like, oh, if I only had more, I get more of these results. No, it's my faith, however weak and feeble it may be. I'm counting on somebody that isn't weak and feeble to come and do something for me that I can't do for myself.
Right.
And it's him doing that brings the results. And all of a sudden, then there's a change that takes place in my life. That's why, like the book of James can say, that faith without works is dead, because it is. Because what you're talking about with faith that has no works is faith that the demons have that isn't real faith. It's still called belief, it's still called faith, but it isn't this counting on and this allegiance to someone who will change your life. But when he does change your life, then you do end up doing things or working so that faith produces works.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very much what Ephesians 2:10 says. Is that what you're looking for?
That's what I was just going to.
Okay.
Because we've talked about 8 and 9 for the last couple of weeks, but 10 is one of my favorite verses. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's created in Christ Jesus through faith, by grace, through faith.
Right.
And for good works. We're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not it's not the way I had it before, where if I do enough works, then I'll build up my faith, and then I'll somehow be rewarded for what I bring to the table. I'll be rewarded with salvation. That's not what Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 say.
Right.
It's the other way.
Right. It's the truth of who Jesus is as a living, resurrected person that you embrace. Embrace is another maybe good word for faith. You embrace, or you count on, or you express allegiance to.
Yeah.
And when you do, then you get grace. The grace changes you.
Yeah.
So in the words of the verse you just read, you are recreated or created in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And God has prepared ahead of time.
Yeah.
So God's done it. He's done the creation. He's done the preparing ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you're just along for the ride. You're walking in those things that he's doing.
And then one of the things that just kept coming to mind as you were saying that is we've talked a lot about our allegiance to Jesus because of what he has done for us. We've talked about a lot of those things. But I really think another big part of it is just believing who he says he is. That was a big thing for me. Like, when you read God's word, Jesus makes it clear. The Bible makes it clear who he says he is. He's not just here just to die on the cross for you. He did do all that, but he is our king. He's not just our savior. He's the king. And I think a lot of people want to just believe the facts and just take advantage. I like the savior part. I like the salvation part. But allegiance to a king is a little bit harder, I think. I just think it's worth, Jesus did what he did for us because of who he is.
Very good, yeah. I mean, it's the whole package.
Yeah.
You don't get to pick and choose, like, I like the teacher part, but not the God part.
Right.
Or I like the moral instruction part, but I don't like the, you know, command the poor in spirit part, maybe.
Right.
Or whatever. You don't get to pick and choose. That's what allegiance means, is that I'm all in on this.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the Indiana Jones line. You don't get to just take the pieces you want and just believe in those as hard as you can and think that's going to work.
Well, so. and that's why truth is, it's important to know the Bible and know who Jesus is. Because if I believe that he was, you know, I don't know if, let's just pick something crazy. I believe he was a dolphin. I mean, I believe in Jesus, right?
Right.
But that's going to do me no good because it's not true.
Yeah.
So I
got the biblical Jesus.
I don't know why I came up with that. That's pretty dumb.
It caught me off guard, though.
But it doesn't matter if I make up something to believe about Jesus. I have to believe in who he is, reveal himself to be, the whole package, like you said.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I don't get to decide.
Yeah. So we've talked about what faith is, we've talked about what it isn't, we've talked about how it's important to have your faith in the right person, the object of your faith is important, but I was just thinking, what if someone's listening and they're saying, I want to have that faith, I want to put my faith, how do you get that? You know, that's, it's just one of the verses that I've heard most of my life, and it really raised a lot of questions for me, but it's Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And I think the King James Version might say through preaching or something like that, and we weren't hearing preaching. We weren't hearing any of it. And so I think it would be helpful to just remind people to read God's word. Reading the Bible is going to be the way. Learning more about who Jesus is going to be the best way to want to put your allegiance toward
him. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because that's different than somehow gritting your teeth and trying to generate faith.
Yeah.
This says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, that there is an invitation as you read the word, as you hear the word, for you to change your allegiance to Jesus.
Yeah.
And there is not only that, but I think especially if you were to say, because you pose, what if somebody wants more faith?
Yeah.
You would say, I would say, read the words of Scripture or listen to them and say, God, would you help me believe what is true here?
Yeah.
And not, you know, say, I want to believe whatever this guy's saying. I just want to believe what's true, and would you help me? And he loves to answer that prayer, and that partly because that's the means by which he will do it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ.
Yeah.
So you don't need more of something else. You need more of the Bible that help, you know, because it brings with it its own power. Not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and salvation. So you're hearing the word of Christ, the gospel. It comes with power to change you.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. No, it's funny that you say that, because that literally was my prayer for years. I didn't know what to pray. I knew I was missing something, and I was trying to figure it all out on my own. But I just started praying, Lord, just help me to know what is right. Help me to know what is right, and help me to have the strength to do something once I do know. And he did.
I was going to say, let me just say, he has answered that prayer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, well, we have a couple of songs that we would sing out there. We'd sing Faith is the Victory. We also would sing the song My Faith Looks Up to Thee.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I like it because we're talking about the object of your faith is what matters. So we sing, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior Divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. So that I mean, that's allegiance. If you're,
exactly,
help me, you know, oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. That's,
wow, I don't know if you need to read the other verses. Yeah, maybe they were that good, but that really is a clear expression. I'm really glad you brought that song.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, again, I sang those so many times, not really understanding, but yeah, I think might be my favorite thing that was said today. It was pray to God that you want to believe the right thing, that you want your faith to be true faith. And
in the right object, and, yes, in the right person.
Yeah.
Right.
And he will answer.
Great. So, well, I'm glad we talked about this. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.